Welcome back, folks.
Hello.
This is our sixth episode of Transition with Bobby and Becky. And this one's going to be a little different than the others because we actually have a guest that's going to join us tonight. And it's a young man that I've known for just a little over 29 years. And Becky has known him for how long?
46 years.
46 years.
That's a long time.
The reason why Becky's known him that long is because he is her one and only baby brother, Joel Troyer. And before we bring Joel on, let me just ask you folks that are watching tonight, do you know of someone or maybe someone in your family that's has autism? We're going to talk about that tonight with Joel because he has a lot of information because his oldest son, Landry, was diagnosed with autism. And so we're going to bring Joel on and he's going to talk about it with you. So here comes Joel.
Here's Joel.
Well, welcome, folks.
Hi, good evening.
Another edition of Transition with Bobby and Becky, and we have a very special guest. This is the first time we've done a guest on our show.
First guest.
First time we've had a guest, and it's somebody I've known for a little over 29 years.
And I've known him for 46 years.
How do you have you known him that long?
We lived in the same house.
Really?
At least for 21 years. Well, I can't do the math fast enough. 13 years we lived in the same house. I was 21 when I moved away.
Okay. And he
I actually thought of a better memory.
What's that?
Us kids sitting around the piano in the basement singing together.
Well, that's a good memory. That's a lot better than sticking you with a diaper pin.
Yes, because that was my original. But I don't remember that.
I do.
No. Cora's learning to play piano, and we moved the piano over to the new house, to the farm, and she's getting really good at piano.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
Now they're trying to sing, and I'm like, oh, this is
history repeats itself.
That's right.
This is very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she's Becky.
This is your
baby brother.
One and only baby brother, Joel Troyer. Glad to have Joel on. And the reason why we wanted to talk to Joel and wanted you to hear him out there, we have a special needs child, which is our oldest, Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel also has a special needs child. How many kids you got now, Joel? Four?
I don't know.
Once you have three, they're like, just kind of forget, lose count.
You're very protective of the first one. I know that.
Oh, that, yeah, that's true.
After that, you're like,
yeah, it seems like the first kid gets, you take a lot of pictures and, you know, and you treat them, you know, very gently and carefully. But after the second or third, it's like you hardly have any pictures of them and you just kind of throw them around, you know. When, you know.
I remember a lady turning around at church and asking my wife, Anna, if she could hold the baby, Landry. And yeah, she said, no.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly.
No, you can't.
But Landry is special needs. And Grace has cerebral palsy. But Landry has something that most people would call autism. But you don't really like that word, do you?
It's such a general word.
It's a general word, yeah.
It does not get to the real root cause of what's going on in their bodies.
Right.
So, and most people
don't like that word.
Most people just accept that their child is autistic and there's really nothing they can do about it. They're just going to have to live with it for the rest of their life. But you don't feel that way about it, do you?
I know kids who have completely recovered, who have completely lost their diagnosis. I know their parents because they found doctors, they found treatments, they found therapies, and every kid is different. But
so you're not going to find it with a pediatrician.
Your average pediatrician doesn't know anything.
No.
So you just gave,
when it comes to that.
The brakes, the proverbial brakes just screeched just now as people are listening to that. Excuse me. And they are thinking, what did he just say? So there's a glimmer of hope, what you just said.
Yeah, and I think you need to be realistic about that glimmer of hope. Most of these kids are not going to lose their diagnosis. I know kids who have.
Yeah.
But I've actually helped kids who have lost their diagnosis right here locally. But most kids are not going to lose it because it's such a complex illness. And I call it an illness because that's what it is. If you actually take the time, spend the money to find the doctors, to do the lab work, to actually look at the whole body and not just accept an autism diagnosis, you're going to find a lot of GI issues. You're going to find a lot of viral issues. You're going to find, what's the word I want? There's going to be these sensory issues, things like that. But a sensory issue is not just naturally occurring.
Inflammation.
A sensory issue is, yeah, you're going to find inflammation, brain inflammation, gut inflammation. It's such a complex, and they use a puzzle piece because the old saying is, once you've met a child with autism, you've met one child with autism. They're all different. They all present differently, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it comes down to a social diagnosis that, okay, this kid is autistic. He can't speak. He can't communicate. He can't present the way other children present.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the time to look at the underlying issues, the autoimmune, you know, the blood work, if you know the right doctor, they're going to be able to take a look at the blood work and go, hey, this kid has some severe GI issues. If you look at stools, if you look at urine samples,
and
they're
going
to be able
that.
To say, oh man, yeah.
And what was the specific thing that you was diagnosed with Landry?
Specifically? First labs we did, you know, when Landry regressed into autism, what we call autism.
Right.
First of all, it was a state of, we were in a state of mourning. We were devastated because he had a 50-word vocabulary. You know, he was very present with us.
Mm-hmm.
He was a normal child. And I've even got all his, you know, obtained all his medical records
mm-hmm.
from birth, you know, and even before birth, when Anna was pregnant, I got those records. I wanted to know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, up through, I think it was his 6th birthday or something. But all his pediatric records said he was normally developing, meeting milestones. You know, when he was 2 years old, he had around a 50-word vocabulary.
Yeah.
He was talking, he would recognize things, he would point things out, you know, point at the sky and say moon. He did all those things.
Right.
And then suddenly he started losing the words that he had. He stopped developing new words, and then he started losing the words that he did have.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say his name over and over, Landry, Landry. He wouldn't look at you. He wouldn't respond to you. Yeah. And we knew something was wrong. And, you know, you start digging online and, you know, all signs point to autism.
Well, I remember we would come up to visit and y'all would come over. And he would just be doing something, and you'd yell at him, Landry, Landry, and he'd just keep on. It's like he was ignoring you. And I think you had thought at one time maybe he was going deaf or something because he wasn't responding to you.
Yeah, we had his hearing check.
Yeah,
down in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We
found a doctor, you know, we were like, if it's not autism, what is it? We found a doctor in Los Angeles who answered that question, and he sent off lab work to our local hospital. We were able to do that. His ANA titers, anti-nuclear antibody titers, were as high as you could go, which means he has severe autoimmune issues. NK cells were as low as you could go, his natural killer cells. He couldn't fight off infection. Mm. He had GI issues. He had He didn't test positive for viral issues, but the doctor felt that they were still there, though they were hidden, because those can hide pretty easily, much like Lyme. And he started treating him. You know, he sent those labs off to the local pediatrician. The local pediatrician looked through those labs, handed them to me, and he said, "Joel, I don't understand this." He said, "I'm not an immunologist. I don't get it."
Wow.
He also said that it's just autism, and that's just how it happens.
Oh.
We've heard that before.
That's what it is. You've got to accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was, you know, we fired him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know you can fire your pediatrician or not, but you can fire your pediatrician.
Yeah.
You don't have to go see him.
Indeed.
So let me ask you, before you go any further, what do you think caused him to regress?
For Landry, it was vaccines.
How do you know that for sure?
Because a local doctor in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who is actually double board certified, graduated from one of the top medical schools in the country, was dragged kicking and screaming into the world of autism, and now has devoted his whole life into medical freedom and helping kids and families with autism.
Awesome.
I remember sitting down with him, with Landry and Anna, my wife, in his office, and we told him we don't think it was the vaccines. And I'll never forget the look he gave me.
Mm.
And he pulled his glasses down on the end of his nose, and he just said, "Joel, this is a textbook case of vaccine injury." Mm. Basically, it was these vaccines, and people don't understand this. A child gets a Hep B vaccine on their first day of life.
Yeah.
Okay, the moment they're born. Why? That's for prostitutes and drug addicts. Why are they getting 250 micrograms of aluminum on their first day of life injected into their bloodstream that crosses the blood-brain barrier into their brain, which creates illness, autoimmune disease? They start getting sick
mm-hmm.
at Your 2 months old. They get another round of vaccines, and people say, "Oh, they got 3 shots." No, you got like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
They combine vaccines. Each vaccine creates an immune response for each different illness. So you're taking an infant 3 months old or 2 months old and demanding an immune response in their little bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, at 2 months old, 1 day old, and then they go in for 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, and then the 12 month. Well, what happens is they start getting sick in between that time in their first year of life. The doctors, the pediatricians go, "Oh, they're sick. Give them an antibiotic."
Yeah.
They destroy the gut microbiome. Okay. Your gut microbiome is your immune system. And I don't think people realize that. That is your immune system.
Yes.
It's your gut.
Yeah.
You destroy the gut. You destroy the bacteria in the gut. You destroy the things that fight off illness.
Antibiotic, it kills the good and the bad bacteria in the gut.
Kills everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't discriminate. It kills everything.
Yes.
And so these kids are inching closer and closer and closer over a 1 year period to this cliff. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you get to the MMR vaccine, which is the most popular one, that parents say it was after the MMR that my child regressed into autism. That's at 12 months. And then they get a second one, right? But it's at that point where you inch them closer to that cliff. The MMR hits, boom, they fall off that cliff. And all of a sudden, their kid is not the same. They're like, "My child changed after this." Every parent, even though all these kids present differently, every parent tells the same story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They do. "My kid changed after this,
after
this." And for my kid, it was... Landry's a strong little guy. It was after 2 years old. It was a Hep A vaccine that caused him to start the real regression.
I remember.
And parents don't understand. They took, I often hear, "Oh, they took mercury out of the vaccines for children." And that's true. They did. They replaced it with aluminum, which is very neurotoxic. It's the second most, I don't want to say lethal, but it's toxic neurotoxin there is.
It's certainly not good.
Certainly not good. Aluminum is, yeah.
Right. But yeah, for Landry, now it was the vaccines. Now I know kids who have never been vaccinated who have a autism diagnosis. And that does happen.
Yeah.
So universal exposure does not equal universal outcome. But for 99% of the people I've ever talked to, and parents in my world, because this is the world I'm in, and I know parents from all over the world. I've interacted with them. I've spent time with them personally, from Brazil to the UK to you name it. That's the same story.
Right. So there.
But, you know, our food supply, what's in our foods now, that can affect really sensitive kids.
Yeah.
The glyphosate, the pesticides. And I just saw a study 2 weeks ago that said 80% of Americans have glyphosate, which is Roundup in their bloodstream, bodies. Urine stream.
Yeah. I mean, so even though a kid may not be vaccinated as a kid, like you said, they could still get autism. But like you said, it's in a lot of the foods that we eat, all this processed food and stuff. And so it may not show up, you know, as quickly as it did in Landry, but somewhere down the line, it's going to show up, you know. It may not be autism, but it may be cancer. It may be ADHD or ADD or something like that. Yes. And then they start putting all kinds of drugs and everything. Is you know, it just
food colors. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Blue. Red. What is it? Blue 40. Red 80 or whatever. I don't. Yeah. Yellow 80. I can't remember what it is. But these things have serious effects on kids.
They do. Sure.
And
it's so
you look at a picture of a beach in 1970 and then look at the picture of the beach today and people look different. I mean, we've been fed sugars, we've been fed starches, we've been fed, you know, these processed foods. We've gone away from what God created into what man has created. Yeah. And the underlying goal of all of it is to make money.
Oh, sure.
I mean, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about making money.
Yeah.
So,
what do you want to say?
Well, let's talk about your experiences with your discovery of what was really going on to today. Just take us through the timeline of and the hope that brings as you progress.
One of the first people I met was named Marsha Hines. She's in Los Angeles. Mark and Frasier, Frank and Marsha Hines, their son is now an aerospace engineer. He recovered from autism. And
amazing.
She kind of helped me through the process. Oh, he lives on his own. He was very severe when he was young. But they treated medically. They did all they could for their son.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's technically lost his diagnosis, but he still struggles and he still takes the medications that, you know, treat his antiviral issues, his antifungal issues, same as Landry.
Yeah.
And he knows he's at a point where he knows when he needs something new, he needs to change something. He's an adult, he's 30 years old. But Marsha has been so kind to us and so helpful. And that's always been her goal, is to help families. But Marsha, you know, took us through those first steps. And then from there, I started going to conferences in Chicago, where I would meet doctors from all over the world, families from all over the world, the Autism One conference, and learn about innovative new treatments and therapies that were designed at helping our kids. And, you know, through that, I was able to sit down with a doctor from Arizona State. He's working on getting FDA approved, FMT approved through the FDA.
Okay.
And if you don't know what FMT is, it's fecal microbiome transplants. That's where you get poop put, you know, your microbiome is transplanted, basically.
Yeah.
These kids have severe GI issues. I remember Landry being at a point where he could eat a piece of bread, a simple piece of white bread, and he would be laying on the floor, belly distended, crying in pain, And I that was in early October of 2018, I believe. And I looked at my wife and I said, we've got to do something now.
Yeah.
And we started researching, and a place in the Bahamas actually did FMT for kids with autism. And they were very renowned, very well respected. We did our due diligence because it can be a dangerous treatment, right?
Okay.
If you try to skip the process, it could kill you, right? So we wanted to make sure this was safe for Landry. And it was. It absolutely was. And so we borrowed the money and went to the Bahamas for 2 weeks and did FMT for him. Now, that doctor that I was talking about at Arizona State, I just found out that he's about 2 to 3 months away from getting it FDA approved in the United States.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Had lunch with him, and great guy. And he has worked his tail off, and he's gotten donors to help him through this process. In fact, the FDA actually cut him a deal to help him get it approved financially.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. So there are good things happening, you know, and I remember 2 days, 3 days into that treatment in the Bahamas, Landry all of a sudden started eating new foods. All of a sudden the diarrhea stopped. His belly wasn't distended. He was feeling better. And we're at a point now where we still do it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool because Landry is still non-speaking, but the other night he climbed up on the table, grabbed the pad, put it down, grabbed a pillow, put it down. And Anna was like, he wants to do a treatment. And so we did.
Yeah.
So you have come across through a friend who also has a child on the spectrum, grown child now, actually, out in Oregon. He told you about something kind of different that you thought maybe wasn't possible for Landry to do.
Right. Our biggest goal was communication with Landry, because when I say, I don't say nonverbal, I want people to understand that. In the Latin, nonverbal means without words.
Okay.
These kids who are non-speaking, they're often unintentionally portrayed as almost mentally retarded.
Unintelligent,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Unintelligent, cognitively delayed. They're not. They're absolutely not. These kids are brilliant.
Right.
So I say non-speaking because that's what they are.
Well, right. I can tell you from experience that places we go, people see Grace, our daughter, in a wheelchair. And she doesn't speak also. And they automatically think she's retarded. You know, there's something wrong with her, but she's as smart as she can be. And most autistic people are very intelligent. I mean, I don't know if the movie Rain Man was anywhere close to correct or not, but he was pretty smart, you know. I don't know.
I think the movie Rain Man, in my opinion, I think it was one of the worst things for the autism community that could have ever happened.
Is that right?
Because he was savant.
Yeah.
Savant affects only about 5% of the autism community.
Okay.
When we talk about the autism community, now JAMA just came out with a new study last week that shows that 1 in 30 kids have autism. Yeah. And it's 1 in 18 boys.
Wow.
So you take 5% of that as being savant. No, that's not to say they're not intelligent.
Right.
They are very intelligent.
Yeah.
But the genius.
So our ultimate goal with all the therapies and treatments we've done, and we have traveled from New Jersey to Los Angeles and pretty much everywhere in between. We've been to Panama City, Panama 4 times for stem cell therapies, which have been very helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, we went to the Bahamas. We've been all over, but our ultimate goal was to communicate with our son again.
Right.
Right. We want to know what's on his mind. What we didn't fully understand was there were days when we could be like, hey, Landry, would you go get this? Would you do this? And he would do it like on a dime. There were other days where you would say that and he wouldn't even acknowledge you.
Yeah.
We didn't understand the aspect of apraxia. And you, to understand non-speaking autism, you have to understand apraxia and dyspraxia. It's a motor planning and motor development and motor delay, okay? So motor is your brain talking to your lips, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. fine motor.
Yeah.
And your tongue, that's as fine motor as it gets to speak. Well, that part of their brain was damaged.
Okay.
That also affects the way they could eat their food. Some days they can use a spoon. Some days they struggle. A lot of times they're in a diaper, you know, for their whole life.
Yeah.
They can't control things. They can't control vocal tics, vocal movements. Landry grabbed that book off the table. And his brain could be trying to tell his body to grab that book, but his body won't respond.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, JB Hanley, called me on June 15th, 2019. And he said, "Joel, get a tissue." JB's on the West Coast. That's who you're talking about. And some people may know who we're talking about. He's been on CNN, Fox News, The Doctors, and a very accomplished author. But JB said, "Get a tissue." And he said, "Jameson is communicating with me." And I was like, this dude won the lottery. Like, Jameson is talking to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "No, he's not talking." We started this new therapy called Spelling to Communicate. And you've got to try it.
Say that again. What's it called?
Spelling to Communicate.
Okay.
He said, basically, they take letter boards and the way they place them, the way the therapists use these boards and the way these therapists coach these kids is they take the fine motor out of speech, put it in the gross motor. So their brain is learning to talk to their shoulder, their elbow, their forearm, their finger to point at letters.
Gotcha.
Well, that was like, it was right after that COVID hit.
Right.
I couldn't get to Virginia.
That's where he wanted you to go to meet a therapist.
And that's, her name is Elizabeth Bossler. And to me, Elizabeth hung the moon. I think she's this great, she's such a great lady. And she had been in therapy, you know, speech therapy for 25 years. And she discovered a new way to communicate, to get these kids to communicate.
Yeah.
And so I had a Zoom meeting with Landry's local teacher and Elizabeth, and she explained the program to me, but I could not get to Virginia. So I bought the program, which is very basic. There's no training involved, really. It's like, here you go. And
what
I
happened?
Was trying it at home, and I thought I was going to get killed. Like, Landry was like trying to stab me with a pencil, and he was just like frustrated. And
so what you're saying is it didn't go very well.
It did not go well. So I called JB and he put me in touch with a great lady out in Pennsylvania named Honey Rinasella, who introduced him to this program. And she was like, "You got to go to Virginia." And JB said, "That's it. That's all I can tell you. You're never going to do this on your own. You have to be trained and you have to see it in action."
Yeah.
Finally, in late May of 2021, just over a year ago,
mm-hmm.
Landry and I were able to go to Virginia and for 3 days and of intensive therapy. And I remember Elizabeth sitting down, and I heard JB say this too, and it's true. She sat down with Landry, I sat behind him, and she talked to him like a normal person, like a normal 8-year-old boy, mm-hmm. who was 8 at the time. And she said, "Landry, I know there's something going on in your brain, B-R-A-I-N, that's preventing you from using your mouth to speak. And I'm going to teach you a new way to communicate using your hand." And then she held up a board in front of him. And she said, "Landry, spell brain." And he hit B-R-A-I-N.
That's wow. Awesome. And first your time. Life changed dramatically again.
The first time.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, because here's a kid who I thought was like cognitively delayed. I didn't know if he understood what I was saying. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And I watched him through those 3 days, you know, spell some pretty intense words like Missouri and all these different things from memory.
He can spell Missouri.
Like, gotta be.
I don't even think I can spell Missouri.
A lot of adults have a hard time with Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah. Missouri.
I remember in the last session of the day or of the last day. And I asked the therapist, I was like, so you're telling me he can read? We've never taught him to read.
Yeah.
And she said, how could he spell like this if he couldn't read?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, I was like, all right, I'm going to test this. So we left Virginia. We're driving back to Michigan. We leave Virginia. We get into Maryland. And I'm like, Landry, we just left Virginia. We're hitting Maryland. M-A-R-Y-L-A-N-D. And then I did the same for Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan. And the next day, his grandpa, our dad, came over to the house after we got home. He's like, I'd kind of like to see this. And so I brought him into a quiet room and I was like, Landry, what's the state we came to when we left Virginia?
Mm.
And he spelled, and this is a day later. So
a day later.
Just memory.
Right.
And he spelled Maryland perfectly. And I was like, what was the state after that? And he spelled Pennsylvania perfectly. And I was like, what's the last state we came to where we live? And he spelled Michigan. And I mean, just mind blown, wow. Right?
What'd dad do?
And so I get a call from JB about a week later, and he's like, so what's your plan, dude? And I said, I'm just going to keep working with him at home. You know, I mean, that's all I know how to do. He was like, all right, grind at home, do what you got to do. But he goes, you need to go out to California.
Another <I'm> trip.
Like, crap, you're rich, JB. I'm not. And
yeah.
But he said, no, you've got to go see Dawn Marie, or DM as she's referred to. And that's what she goes by, is DM. He said, she's amazing. And so I said, all right, I'll do it. I mean, I've listened to you so far and it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So we worked at home. We worked at home and he was doing really well. We go out to California a few months later, Oceanside, California. And Dawn Marie is incredible. Great lady. And she, you know, took him to the next level.
Yeah.
And then we make another trip out a few months after that. And, you know, all of a sudden he moves from three, and it's spelling to communicate is hard to explain on here, but you move from three foam letter boards or stencil with the alphabet split up into three parts.
Right.
And you're doing educational lessons, okay? Appropriate for a 9-year-old child. Or you could do more advanced. But they're using those and their eyes are learning to focus on these letters because it's very difficult with apraxia. Okay. It's hard for these kids, especially the younger ones who haven't gone through puberty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on our second trip, all of a sudden she starts putting out this 26 letter board with the whole alphabet. And I'm like, she's not ready for that. And
you underestimate him. I mean,
yeah, she all of a sudden she has him in this rhythm and he's like, boom, 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 boom. I mean, just nailing it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And, you know, and then she finally asks him like they call it an open question. There's prior knowledge, semi-open, and open. Open meaning he can answer whatever he wants. Semi-open meaning there's multiple answers to the question. And yeah, I remember her asking him who America fought. The lesson was on Benjamin Franklin. But then she was like, Landry, it's okay if you don't know the answer to this. And like I said, at the time he was 8 years old. It's okay if you don't know the answer to this, but who did America fight in the Revolutionary War to gain our independence? And I watched this little dude spell E-N-G-L-A-N-D perfectly. And I'm like, I don't even know how he knows that. I never taught him that. I never taught him to read.
Was he sitting in a classroom at school? Was he included in the classroom at school where he might have heard that information?
I don't know.
Or maybe saw it on TV, a movie or something, or, you know.
What we've discovered about these kids is that because they've lost their ability to speak or communicate verbally, their sense of their memory is incredible. They hear it and it's retained instantly.
Yeah.
Wow.
They really are brilliant in that regard.
Yeah.
Dawn Marie's texting me right now.
Tell her to hold on.
I just tell her, shut up, Dawn Marie.
No, don't tell her. You had a, can you tell us about the
You have to know Dawn Marie. She would laugh.
Well, she's my kind of person. She, yes, she recently is. You had a little breakthrough with Landry. I got a text from you recently and where he showed some possible sarcasm. In his
answer. I found out it was not sarcasm.
Oh,
once really? I got the transcript from what I heard.
Oh, okay.
You know, from the left. Okay, so let me backtrack a little bit. We found a local therapist, and we now listen. There's different therapists. We went to one in Chicago for 2 days. We booked a hotel room, and so our first day we went out there with Landry and Anna, and I went together. And after our first two sessions, we were both like, we're not sleeping in this hotel room. We're driving back home because she was terrible.
Oh.
And so we left. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, maybe, and I love Dawn Marie, but it's about money too, you know,
sure.
The airfare.
Yeah.
And Chicago is a 2-hour drive, whereas Dawn Marie is a 5-hour flight.
Right.
Yeah. And, but it, no, she was not the right fit. For Landry, and I want the best for my kid, and she's the best.
Yeah.
So we were able to find a girl locally, and we just moved to Coldwater, Michigan. She works for the Hillsdale County ISD. You may have heard of Hillsdale County or Hillsdale College.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you're in the conservative leaning crowd. But she works over there, but she lives in Coldwater, and she was training to be an SDC therapist. And I remember somehow we were put in contact with each other, and I was like, yeah, come on over.
Yeah.
And she didn't have, I don't want to sound mean. She didn't have the personality of Dawn Marie or this bubbly, bright, you know, whatever personality that normally works with our kids, but she was still pretty good. And even though she was in training, and I was like, come back.
Yeah.
And she did. And then she did again, and she did again. And this, you know, at that time, there's no charge, right? She's in training.
Okay.
But she's still been coming back. And Landry's developed this, like, cool relationship with her.
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And so last week, she was doing a lesson on bacterial growth in the Great Lakes.
Sounds interesting.
Not something your typical 9-year-old boy would.
I've always wanted to know. I've always wanted to know about that.
Oh, right.
Man.
And, you know, when I got home from work, and she was leaving, and she was like, he spelled his sentence for me, you know, because they're doing like one word answers, stuff like that. And she's like, he spelled his sentence for me. And I was like, getting teary eyed. And she was like, I know, I'm crying too. And I was like, well, what did she spell? And what did he spell? And she said, I've really loved this lesson. And I was like, what was it about? And I should backtrack. My wife actually told me this part of it. It was on bacterial growth in the Great Lakes. And I was like, he's such a Troyer. He's being sarcastic. Like, he didn't really want to know about that. Well, then Alyssa, the therapist, she sent me the transcript of the lesson and the words he was spelling. I don't know. I couldn't have spelled them. But then what he actually said was, I've loved this topic, would like to go deeper.
Whoa. Whoa. Yeah.
Wow.
Marine biologist.
Yeah. So wow. I'm like, okay, he's a scientist. I guess. I don't know. But he really liked it because that's not sarcasm. There's a big difference between what I heard and what I read.
Well, and one more thing about Landry, maybe not unique, but just along those lines, along the lines of water, you learned a statistic early on about autistic children and how there's a lot of drownings. And so you set out right away to see that he knew how to swim. And does that boy swim?
I think he's half fish.
Yeah, when he first got diagnosed, as a parent, you start researching, you start digging.
Yeah.
And I've read that kids with autism are 40 times more likely to drown than your neurotypical child.
Yeah.
And I know that to be true because in my world, I see headlines and I always read about, you know, I honestly see it about once a week.
Wow.
in my circles. A child took off, you know, and you read deeper into the article and they had autism. Mm. And almost always they found them in a body of water. And I think there's a direct connection between that and the apraxia I was speaking about earlier.
Yeah.
These kids, their motor, their bodies, they can't move their bodies the way they want to, but you put them in water and it's like a ballet.
Wow.
And I know that because I filmed Landry underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Landry, when I read that, I bought a membership to a local pool and I started teaching him how to swim as best I could. I'm not a swim instructor, but I had him to the point where he could definitely doggy paddle and stay up. Okay. It's just a little guy. And ironically, on my Facebook memories today, this memory popped up. We had went to Panama for stem cells.
Uh-huh.
And the first time, we've been four times, but it was after his second round of stem cells that I watched him go into the pool at the hotel we were staying at. This little kid who could just doggy paddle, and he started jumping into the pool. He started swimming underwater. He started swimming on his back. And I saw the video of him, just that little guy. And he was like, just jumping in, swim that's, underwater for a while, pop amazing. Back up. And I was like, this is incredible. And it was worth every penny that we spent to go down there. And now he's an avid swimmer.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that if we go to a lake, I'm not watching him very closely because he's such a good swimmer. He might try to swim across and there might be a boat coming across. Or something, you know,
this is,
you've
got to
be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, you've taken him.
Their bodies can move in that water.
Yeah.
The way they can't move outside the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're free there.
You've taken Landry. You've mentioned several places, the Bahamas, Panama, LA, Virginia, Chicago. You've taken him a bunch of places for therapy and treatments and things, and it costs a lot of money. And you're not, like you said, you're not a rich man. I know you, Joel, you're not a rich man. We're not rich either. But an insurance doesn't pay for any of that stuff.
No.
So you have to raise funds to be able to get him the therapy he needs. And you've been doing something for now 4 or 5 years now called Birdies for Landry.
6 or 7.
Has it been that long?
I don't know.
7 years.
7 years. Wow.
7 years.
Wow.
And so
actually it was started by our cousin Toby Schwartz.
Right.
He was like, I want to do something to help. And so he did a golf scramble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had like, I don't know, 8 or 9 teams or something the first year.
Yeah.
We had a few hole sponsors, you know, we wrote on a little piece of paper and I saw that and, you know, I was very humbled by it and very appreciative and it raised some money, you know, to help with those costs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Me being me, I was like, well, if people get a hole sponsorship, they should have a good sign.
Yeah,
not sure. My bad handwriting.
Yeah.
And so the next year, you know, I got businesses involved, more businesses, and Toby and I were doing it together. And then the third year, Toby was busy and, you know, he had things going on. He had another kid and he was wanting to start preaching and he was focusing on starting a church. And so I just kind of took it over and I didn't mind taking it over because it's not like a GoFundMe, like, hey, just give us something. It was an opportunity to have a really good time with local community.
Yep.
And even a lot of people from outside the community would started coming and businesses from outside our community started giving and putting out sponsor signs. And it grew to the point where we had, you know, what's 8 times 4, 36 golfers. We had, you know, all of a sudden we had 100 golfers showing up.
Wow.
And you know, there's only 18 holes.
Yeah.
So at teams of four, you know, people are waiting.
Yeah.
We got local businesses involved to donate food, local people involved to grill chicken and just, you know, all these different things. And people gave door prizes. People gave raffle items. You know, last year we had Sweet Helicopters. The owner owns Sweetwater Sound in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the largest music store in the in the world.
Yeah.
He gave us one of his helicopters to do a ball drop. And if you don't know what a ball drop is, it's numbered golf balls, and you buy a ball for $10. You can win $500, but they all go into these buckets, you know, and your name goes on a spreadsheet, and the ball gets dropped. The balls get dropped out of this helicopter and land on a target, and the ball that's closest to the target wins $500. Last year, a guy from Atlanta, Georgia won the $500.
Wow. Awesome.
So anybody anywhere in the world
can
be a part of it and participate in the event. And we've had a great turnout. It's been very successful.
What's this event called?
It's called Birdies for Landry.
Awesome.
We do it at Cedar Lake Golf Course in Howe, Indiana. Last year we were able to get Doug Flutie to do the video announcement for it.
Wow.
This year we got Rocket Ismael. Doug Flutie won a Heisman. Rocket should have.
Yeah.
Now Rocket,
Notre Dame.
Rocket used to play for my favorite NFL team, the Dallas Cowboys. Yours too, right, Joel? Was he at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
He was at Notre Dame. So that's, you know, that's your connection there. So,
yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Rocket, you developed a great relationship with him, right?
He's a good guy. And, you know, on top of asking him to just do the video announcement, he took it a step further. And he said, if anybody makes a donation of any amount, be it one penny or $1 million, those are his words, not mine.
Yeah.
I will mail them an autographed photo from their favorite team, be it the Panthers, the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Argonauts, or Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And he's done it. He's absolutely done
it. He sure has.
I just said, if I shoot him a message.
In fact, I have one right here. There it is.
Look at that.
And it's personalized.
That's to me. That's right. And this will go on my wall of fame, wall of shame, wall of fame.
You got to frame it.
If I get anything from the Cowboys like that, that is awesome to me.
You know, I had the chance to ask Rocket just personally. I was like, just, you know, and just our interaction. And this is a guy I grew up as a little kid. I idolized Rocket, right? You know, the guy ran a 4.28 40. He's fast.
Yeah. Why they call him Rocket.
And now I'm like, I'm messaging with him. And the other night I was just like, Rocket, I said, you love Jesus, don't you? And he was like, heck yeah, I love Jesus. And I was like, you can tell you do. I said, just messaging with you, I can tell that you do.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh man, thank you so much. And, you know, for a guy that grew up in a Muslim household and he was converted at a young age and
he told you he had a relationship with Jesus.
He has a relationship with Jesus.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. So these treatments aren't cheap, like we talked about. What would just a round figure, like if you went to the Bahamas for Landry for treatment, what was something like that cost?
Oh man, we had to go for 2 weeks to the Bahamas for those treatments. Okay. That cost now 2 weeks is one where I have to take the whole family. That's not one where just Landry and I can go for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we've only been once there, but that was about $17,000. Panama for 6 days, just Landry and I can go. Now we have four kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, mom has to stay at home. You're talking about passports. You're talking about all those different things. Food. The last two times we've been to Panama, just Landry, or three times Landry and I have just went. And that kills mom.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just too much money. But that still costs about 15 after airfare and everything. It's about $15,000.
Wow.
Now that includes our hotel. And they put you up at a 4-star hotel, which is connected to a high rise where the clinic is in.
Yeah.
And it's first class. I mean, it's very much first class, but you could stay away from the clinic. I can't guarantee anything after that.
Yeah.
You're going to a third world country.
Yeah.
I remember our first trip, we took the whole family and we weren't all here yet, but that one was about 21,000. Now, once you become a repeat guest, the price lowers and it becomes a little more affordable at about 15,000 to 16,000.
Yeah,
our trip to Oceanside, California, which we are honestly, we're trying to make 4 times a year. Those are the ones where we go to see Dawn Marie.
Yeah.
Our total cost for those trips after airfare, before the inflation hit, were about $3,000 for just Landry and I.
Okay.
Anna has never been, we've never been able to afford to send Anna and I both together so she can actually see the therapy by a professional, by the best of the best in action.
Mm-hmm.
And that, honestly, that hurts.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because she still doesn't have, even though she sees me doing it, she doesn't see Dawn Marie doing it. She doesn't see Elizabeth doing it. And that changes your whole perspective on it.
That's
I'm not
important.
A professional.
Yeah.
It is important. Because once you see them doing it, you go home and you're like, okay, I've got to do this, right?
Yeah.
I could do this way. You learn to take different approaches and see things in a different light. But I would love to take her. She won't go by herself with Landry. She's like, oh, we got babies. We can't do that. And they need mama. One of these times I really would like to just Anna and I go together.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's $3,000 before inflation hit. Right now with airfare prices, that's probably $3,500 to $4,000.
Yeah. That's just you and Landry, right?
That's just me and Landry.
So if Anna went in.
So that's hotel, food, rental car.
Almost double that. Yeah.
You have to fly to San Diego, then you have to take a rental car, you know, go up to Oceanside, which is not quite an hour north of San Diego.
Yeah.
So 4 times a year, that's, you know, $15,000 when it's all said and done now.
Yeah.
And I don't have that money. We just bought a small farm here in Michigan, and we're taking a big risk doing it. But the goal is to create a future for our kids, create some extra income. But the starting phases of that are really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And financially, it's really tough. And everybody knows, everybody's hurting right now. I know that right now I'm having a hard time selling golf balls for the ball drop. And last year I sold over 600.
Where are you at right now?
Like 10.
10?
Oh, man.
Okay, well.
Well, we hope this video will help. We hope this video will help you. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's $10.
$10 a ball.
Folks out there, help this man. You know, we were talking on a.
Not me, help Landry.
Well, yeah, but help you financially get Landry where he needs to go. We were talking on another video, previous video, and Becky brought this up about fathers that with special need kids. What was the
statistic I heard many, many years ago was in homes with special needs children, 90% of the time the father will leave. 10%, I mean, that was left unsaid, but you know how to do the math. This is somebody that's in that 10%. And I said, my brother is in that 10%. So
I know Christian men who have had affairs.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily get divorced, but, you know, I've talked to the wife, you know, on a private level, and she said he was just looking for an escape.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure of you've got this at home, you're trying to provide financially. Then you've got other kids, mm-hmm. you've got therapies to think about. You're trying to make sure the bills get paid. Yeah. You're trying to keep your boss happy, your wife happy. And they look for an escape.
Yeah.
And, that temptation, I don't fault a man for it, because I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about those things. Like, I just want out.
Yeah.
But I think with, and I'm saying that, like, those are Christian men.
Right.
Yeah.
And right. It's hard. But at the end of the day, you fight through those. You fight through those thoughts and those temptations, if you will. I don't know if it's a temptation as much as it is just a cry for help, maybe.
Yeah.
But the hard part is you don't have, even your best friends don't understand.
Right. We know.
They don't.
They don't.
They don't. They love you. They care about you, mm-hmm. but they don't get it.
No.
Well, until you've been in those shoes, and that's not their fault. And we don't want those things for our friends, but it's just when you experience it, then you know. But until then.
You know, I had a Facebook post the other night about the inner circle. A lady wrote about the inner circle and the people we allow in to our lives as autism parents, especially. Because they'll never see what really happens. And a lot of that is protecting our kids. We don't want to embarrass our kids. Because once you gain the understanding that they do understand everything, they would be horrified.
Yeah.
Even though they may not show it or present it, they still know it. They would be horrified if they knew you told someone
how they behave.
You know, what actually happens inside these walls of our home.
Right.
And you know, I have a friend she messaged me the other night. She's in Minnesota. Her son is in so much pain from autism. It's other things. He's got an autism diagnosis, but that's what people don't understand. There's other issues. There's underlying medical conditions. I mean, this poor child he's self-harming. Because he's in so much pain, he can't express it. He can't verbalize it. You know, he with his teeth ripping chunks out of his arm. You know, right now he's on his deathbed. And she just said, "I just needed to tell somebody I knew would understand."
Yeah.
Wow.
How do you put that? And the scariest part of that is she said Landry was a lot like him before he went through puberty.
Mm.
And well, if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will.
Some things you don't want to hear.
They're all different, though. They're all different.
Yeah.
And
Landry is moving down a path now with S2C, spelling to communicate, that is moving him into because he has dealt with some aggression and some lashing out and stuff. And our daughter, same thing. There's because of the being non-speaking. And, but with being able to communicate thoughts, that brings a calm and that brings a peace that wasn't there, because you can let others know, hey, this is what I'm thinking. There's a freedom in that expression.
Yeah. He wrote a book, and he actually wrote it with his son, Jameson.
Yeah.
I don't have a way to put the picture up, but we actually, you know, I got a great picture with Jameson and Landry out in California together, which meant the world to me, because that's why Landry's on this road, mm-hmm. you know, he's on. But Jameson, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
You know, he's 19 years old, and he's 6'4", and he was very much self-harming beforehand. Yeah. You know, they made multiple trips to the ER with him. JB would have to leave his job and leave the things he was doing to rush his child to the ER, and his wife would have to drop everything. He said all of a sudden, you know, once he became able to openly communicate, or what in our world of S2C they call open.
Mm-hmm.
Once that hit, the self-harm stopped that he was never aggressive towards others. He was aggressive towards himself.
Yeah.
And he said it was all gone. He did have a moment of release. If you buy the book, it's called Underestimated, an Autism Miracle.
Thank you.
You can buy
that.
It on Amazon for $15. Honestly, to me, and maybe I'm being partial, but I think our sister Mary said the same thing. It's probably the best nonfiction book I've ever read.
Yeah.
Wow. But you know, he had a moment of release where all those years, 17 years of being trapped inside his own body, as brilliant as he was, taught himself 3 languages.
Oh my,
you know,
goodness.
And I'm looking at Landry, 9 years old. He knows square roots. I didn't teach him that. He's never taken a math class. Yeah. I don't understand how he knows it, but he does. He knows it. And he just, you know, that moment of release where I don't know, this one's hard for me to talk about. Jameson was on the bed and just lost it. I mean, he lost all control. He sobbed. But the whole family came together with him.
Yeah, it's just it's a miracle. He had an outlet. Yeah. Wow.
They all cried together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What a moment.
How cool is that?
What a moment. What a moment.
Well, Joel,
it's a very emotional, I mean, we don't always show it and I don't always talk about it in these settings, I guess. And I have a hard time with it because when you actually do start talking about it, it all hits you.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
But I sent a text to my pastor last week and I said, Rustin, the miracle is upon us. It's here.
It's not, we only
go forward from here.
It's not what you had pictured, but boy, is it great anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
It's great.
Because all we want for him is to be able to, he's in his own prison, the prison of his own body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Grace.
Oh yeah.
You could never convince me Grace isn't completely aware. And I don't care what the outside world says. Oh, they're cognitively delayed. They don't understand anything.
No. Very smart.
They know everything.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of grace,
when we sing, if I ever miss just half a word,
just
of
half
a song,
syllable,
she is the first one to notice it.
She
reacts to it.
Her,
you know,
head will spin and she'll laugh or she'll get upset. I mean, I don't know how, usually she'll laugh, but she will catch it.
Oh yeah. Before anybody else does, she catches it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, last night we heard yelling inside the house. We were on the back deck and apparently the inside timer for the chicken tenders went off before mom's phone alarm went off and Landry was in there yelling his head off.
Oh, man. Well, Joel, you're an incredible father. I just have to say.
Well, you are too.
Well, I appreciate it. But I mean, you've gone a lot further lengths than I have to help your son. Becky does most of the stuff for Grace. You know?
He does all the lifting.
Yeah, I do all the lifting, all the heavy work.
He feeds her one.
Well, it's
two meals a day, actually.
Yeah,
it's tough. I mean, as dad, you go to work all day, and you know, I come home, and there's a million things to do outside, and Anna's been with the kids all day, and she's tired and stressed out, and you've got that extra added dynamic to the whole family picture, and. Yeah. I'm glad. Honestly, I'm glad most folks don't have to deal with it. And I think one of the worst things you can say to somebody in our shoes is, well, God had a special purpose for you. How about you just shut up? Don't say that to people.
I had a dime.
Yeah, for everybody that says that.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't say that. Now, if people wanted to help, whoever's watching, I hear this all the time. I don't golf. I can't be a part of the Birdies for Landry golf scramble.
Thank you for saying this.
Well, you can be a part of the Birdies for Landry golf scramble. You can buy balls for the ball drop. This year, we're not doing a helicopter. We're doing a 100-foot. I just got company. We got a 100-foot fire truck ladder from Shipshewana, Indiana Fire Department. So they're going to take that up over the golf course and drop the balls.
Hi, Wynn.
Is that Wynn?
Here's Wynn. Hey.
This is my youngest. This is Wynn.
Hey, Wynn.
This is the little brother that Landry wanted.
Yeah. He's going, who are those two people?
Well, Landry doesn't talk, but I remember we stopped doing ultrasounds and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember asking, we asked Landry, do you want a little boy or a little girl? And Landry actually said out loud, he was like, boy.
Yeah. There he is.
He got him.
He got him. A win.
And they do. They have fun together.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to buy a ball for the ball drop, all you have to do is go to PayPal, and it's birdiesforlandry@gmail.com.
Okay. And we'll have that
Landry
on the screen.
We'll have that on the screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Or if you don't have PayPal, I do Venmo, which I can give you guys that information.
Yep.
Or if you wanted to write a check, you can make it payable to Birdies for Landry. And like I said, a guy from Atlanta won it last year.
Yeah.
So anybody can participate and help Landry on this journey. I don't want to give the mistaken impression that Landry is completely open. This is a long road. It takes a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for a young guy like him who just doesn't have the control over his body that an older child does. We have a long way to go, but Landry is improving, and we are seeing the miracle happen.
Yes, so, you are.
You know, for him to spell a sentence last week and give his autonomous thoughts and know that he's now some sort of mad scientist, I guess. But that is awesome for me as a dad, because I've been doing lessons on the wrong subject with him at home. And now I can start focusing my lessons in a different area.
Yeah.
Yes.
And let's see where that takes us.
But yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, you want to know what your kids' interests are, right?
Sure.
You want to cater to those.
And, yeah.
So this is exciting for us. And we'll see what he does next week.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
We'll probably.
It's August 14th, by the way.
August 14th is the Birdies for Landry.
We'll be there.
Yep.
We'll be there.
So
I have assignments for you.
Okay. Well, we'll come with our aprons and our gloves on, ready to work.
I'll come with my guitar in hand.
There you go.
So thank you, Joel, for taking the time to do this. I know it's bedtime up there, and so we'll let you go, but we'll have all that information for you, and best of luck, not best of luck, blessings.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We just pray that people will see the need there and want to participate.
Yeah.
In that.
I hope they do. I know times are tough right now, and they are. So it's been tough on everybody. Inflation, just buying food for your family is hard. Yeah, and
sure.
And here we are with all these extra expenses, and it's tough. But you know what? I think God always provides.
He sure does.
He does.
And his timing is always perfect. And I'm you know, I was worried about a couple of extra bills I didn't expect this week. And then tonight I get a text message and a guy wants 150 bales of hay out of nowhere.
Awesome.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. There you go.
Awesome. I got them.
There you go, man.
Good. Good.
Well, Joel, we appreciate you, man, for sharing your heart and about your family, and especially Landry. And we pray that a lot of people watching this will help you guys out financially and prayerfully. And we're going to see Landry. He's going
to
be.
I can't wait for him to be able to express to everyone out there.
I'm looking forward to him calling me Uncle Bobby.
Yeah. That'd be
awesome. Close. He's so close.
Yeah.
He's so close. And it's only because of Birdies for Landry. That's the truth. It's only because of Birdies for Landry.
So let's keep that
also
going.
We're going to Facebook Live that. If you go to Birdies for Landry Facebook page, we're going to Facebook Live that ball drop. So wherever you're at in the country, you'll be able to watch it and find out probably somebody else won. So
somebody's got to win.
Somebody else is you.
Somebody's got to win.
Somebody's got to win.
Somebody's got to win.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Joel, we're going to let you go because you're an hour later than we are. So you got to get them kids to bed and get yourself to bed. You got to probably got to get up and go to work tomorrow, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to remind you of that. All right, brother. We love you.
Love you.
Love you too. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.